welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with two members of the News Tribune who we'll be talking with us in a moment. But first, let's listen to a little bit of the conversation with Jays beat reporter Trevor Hahn and head coach Eric Thomas.
All right, well, bouncing back to last week here briefly, it kind of seemed like a tale of two halves for you guys. You guys take a seven-point lead into the locker room, and it seems like probably about a 6-7 minute span of that third quarter is really what decided that one. So just what did you notice watching that one back?
Well, I think it's a huge growth process still for our kids, understanding having a lead at halftime. Big play to end the half with Kendrick on a vertical ball where he made some great moves and got in the end zone with about, I don't know, it was under 10 seconds left, I think. And so it was really tremendous to go into halftime that way, fired up, excited, trying to get the kids calmed back down at halftime and understand, go out in the third quarter. And then we go out and they onsided and we didn't recover it. And we just kind of lost momentum at that point and trying to recover a lot during the third quarter and just couldn't get the momentum back and get things going again.
Yeah, and just resetting into this week, coming off of a rivalry game and into another one, how have you guys attacked that process?
Well, we just got to go back to the next week. I mean, to say last week wasn't tough, it would be a lie. It was. But continuing to come back and rebound from it and try to find a way to get better this week and try to focus on the things that we did well in that game, because there was some really good spots, both offensively, defensively. There were some really good things going on that we got to build on. Like Alex Wilson threw 3 touchdown passes for the first time in his career. And those are things that we can build on and focus on and continue to get better at.
Yeah, and then obviously in your playing days here, Helias and you guys did not play. Just kind of rivalry then to rivalry now. What are the differences that you've noticed?
I guess I don't think of it as a rivalry yet. To be a rivalry, you gotta get some wins in there, and it's gotta be a back and forth thing. And I don't know how much that has happened right now. I know everybody calls it a rivalry because it's a block down the road from each other, but I guess that's a rivalry that. To me wasn't here when we were here, so it doesn't seem like that rivalry yet. And we've got to be competitive. We got to start competing against them and get some wins to consider it a rivalry in my mind.
Yeah, and just looking at Helias' game last week, they really sent a message against a really good Capital City team with a 33-0 win. Just what did you notice watching that game on film?
They're a really good football team. So really two really good teams on the field, but I think you found out which one was the better team. They're solid in every position. And their backups are solid in every position. It's like they roll another guy in. It looks like just like the starter. So they're a lot. They're a load. And the thing that I see about Helias that people don't quite always see or understand is they don't do anything all that fancy. They run the same schemes. They're doing the same things. They don't have to over game plan anybody. They just do what they do, and they do it really, really fundamentally sound. And they're really, really well coached. So it's tough when you've got those types of players that are coached really well and have great fundamentals and they've bought into their system, then that's something to admire from a coach, honestly. But at the same point, you want to find ways to put cracks in that.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Jays head coach Eric Thomas. So there's two people sitting with me this week, and that was necessitated by some scheduling quirks last week.
Yeah, sorry, I had a wedding in Kansas City, so I covered Blair Oaks.
Exactly.
That's where that came from.
So Trevor went askew for a week, and filling his shoes very aptly was Greg Jackson of the News Tribune.
I'm just here to be a team player, Tony.
That's what we always say about you, Greg, so that's why you've gotten to where you are. So let's look back to last week. So that was Greg's chance to fill in, and he got to see an interesting 49-35 loss at Hickman for the Jays. A lot happened in that game.
It was a long game. I don't think it got over until after 10 o'clock. To be fair, it didn't start until about 7:10. You could tell it was going to be that way when both teams had a couple of long touchdown drives to start the game, and then it just seemed to pick up and the scores started happening more rapidly.
Okay.
In the final minute of the first half, Jeff City punts the ball. It hits off a Hickman player. They recover it. Very next play, Alex Wilson throws a 46-yard touchdown pass to Kendrick Johnson with 19 seconds left. They go into half up 28-21. I'm sitting here thinking, wow, that's a great momentum boost. They're going to receive the opening kick. If you could score there, no team had had a two-score lead yet. Like, I mean, it was really a seesaw back-and-forth battle that whole first half. And I'm like, here's Jefferson City's opportunity to seize that momentum and take advantage of it. And it was gone to start the second half when Hickman does an onside kick and recovers it, goes down and scores. Hickman onside kicks again. It goes out of bounds this time, but they get a three and out. Hickman gets the ball back, scores, takes the lead. Onside kick, recovers, scores again. And I mean, it just felt like in the blink of an eye, Jeff City went from being up by 7 to down by 14. And you know, you take a look, they only had 8 offensive plays in the first half for 5 total yards. Right. I mean, they did not have the ball hardly at all in the third quarter. And even when they did, they didn't really get back into the swing of things. And by the time they did, it was the middle of the fourth quarter, and it was already a 3-touchdown deficit.
So you're not maybe going to know for sure to be able to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When you have that many onside kicks happen, did it look like the Jays were prepared for them and just maybe didn't execute? Did things just go perfectly right for Hickman? Or was there something where they're just like, we think we're going to catch you napping 3 times in a row, which takes a lot of guts, I think.
So I'm going to try. I don't remember much about the third one. The first one, Jeff City tried to fall on it. Jeff City player tried to fall on it, miss, and then the Hickman player recovered.
Okay.
The second one, they kicked it toward the sideline, and I think it was one of those things where they're like, it's going to go out of bounds, and luckily it did get out of bounds before a Hickman player could recover. I'm not saying they weren't prepared, but it just wasn't executed.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't expecting it. We had seen decent kickoffs the whole first half. I was caught by surprise.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things where, you know, after the game, Coach Thomas was like, hey, we just didn't execute. Plain and simple, we just did not execute. And on top of that, the penalties. I mean, the number of penalties Jefferson City had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I mean, 15 penalties is just way too many.
Yeah.
And a number of them were 15-yarders. And they had 3 penalties in the third quarter.
That was my next question.
All were 15-yarders.
Yeah.
And It was just one of those things where it just kept building. Now, to be fair, Hickman was also penalized a lot. Not as much as Jeff City, but still a lot. I mean, you're going to see that in rivalry games.
Sure.
It happens. But the penalties seem to be more detrimental to Jefferson City than they were to Hickman.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff that when you have a game between, it now sounds like, 2 pretty evenly matched teams where both are scoring and possessions and plays are precious. Things like not covering onside kicks and just giving up too many free yards via penalty is going to kill you at some point. It sounds like it did.
I mean, the good things you saw from Jefferson City is, you know, Jaden LaViolette ran the ball well.
Okay.
You know, Alex Wilson, you know, 8 of 24. I know that's not nearly as many completions as he wants to see, but the completed balls were good ball. I mean, that Kendrick touchdown was one of the best touchdowns I've seen because, you know, it was one of those one-on-one deep balls. He caught it and then juked his defender out of his shoes at the 15 and got into the end zone. If he doesn't juke him and he gets tackled, they might not score because time was almost out. So to me, that was probably one of the biggest plays of the game for Jefferson City and just showed the athleticism of Johnson. On the flip side, the Jeff City defense just had such a difficult time stopping, you know, Brock Camp, the option game kind of. I mean, they did a good job of, like, it was just hard to read. I mean, you know, it felt like Hickman made the right read every time on the option game, and I think that was also frustrating for the defense because when you make a great tackle, but it turns out it's a guy who didn't have the ball, that could be a little deflating. And, there are positives out of that game, but there are also a number of negatives. It's going to be one of those things that it's going to be a mixed review on the game film afterward.
Yeah. So that talk about the defense is kind of a nice transition to back to Trevor here in a second.
Hey.
And we'll get to this week's opponent in a minute. But I think when you're talking about the Jeff City defense, we can't just say that this is an aberration. I mean, we're 2/3 of the way through the season now. Let me just read these numbers for you. 53, 22, 63, 28, 49, 49. this is a problem. I mean, the fact that the Jays are giving up that many points per game at this point in the season doesn't seem like they've been able to solve anything. And some of that may be a byproduct of, yes, the offense doesn't play well or turns it over, gives the team another possession. But those are big enough numbers that you can't just go, oh, well, it's situational. One game you can look at and go, maybe this was situational and we gave them too many possessions deep, or these numbers add up to, this is a nice smattering of a sample size to go, this is who they are right now, and this is problematic.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on the fact that the offense has not helped them, and the punting game, that was not mentioned, that has not helped them as well. They have had a lot of short fields to deal with, and they've been on the field a lot this year.
Right.
With that being said, those are kind of some factors that play into it, but they haven't played good football on the defensive side for an entire game all year.
Yeah.
The best performance was probably that Sullivan game. And that really came late in the second half.
Right.
And it took them a while to adjust and get to that. And so, yeah, like you mentioned, at some point you kind of just have to look at it. And it's like, that's kind of who they are at this point. Is there time to fix that still left in the season? There is. There's opportunities down the stretch. Maybe not this week. We'll get into that a little bit later against a really good Helias team.
Right.
But there is opportunities to fix it, but it is quite alarming at this point, looking up at the scoreboard every week and you see numbers in the 40s and the 50s,
right.
And if it's not there, in the high 30s. And
right.
It's not a particularly strong suit of the team, and it's been asked to be the strong suit of the team. So that's kind of a mixture of two bad things, and it's not a good combination.
The one thing I was going to chime in, speaking of the defense, I mean, they won the turnover battle against Hickman 3-1, but here's the problem. I mean, and one of them was a pick six by Gervis. The problem was, if you take a look, Hickman scored 7 touchdowns and only punted once. So the turnovers are nice, but
right.
You're not getting nearly enough punts to go along
right.
with it. So
right.
I think they're doing a great job in the takeaway battle, but they've got to force more third down stops.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, and I think the thing that worries you as a Jays fan is the fact that, yes, you're already giving up in the 40s regularly, and you have a team coming in this week that has already scored 90 in a game this season. So that opponent is the Helias Crusaders. So the Jays come into tonight's game at 2-4 overall, 1-4 in the CMAC. They'll be hosting Helias at 7 o'clock tonight. The Crusaders are 5-1 overall, 4-1 in the CMAC. And I think it's also you're catching maybe Helias at a bad time, whereas 2 weeks ago they were coming off a tough loss. They got right last week. You know, they won 33-0 at Cap City and really were, I mean, commanding, you know, in terms of being able to shut down the Cap City offense that had been able to score a lot this year is also maybe something that concerns you as a Jays fan heading into tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides to it. Maybe Helias got all their frustrations out last week against Capital City after kind of letting that Rockbridge game slip away from them. But also, maybe they kind of hit their stride that they were in early
right.
in the season. And it's a team that's really, Helias wants to play their best, like every team, come postseason time.
Sure.
And they have big postseason aspirations. And like you mentioned, it's getting into that final third of the season. Helias really wants to be playing their best football right now. And it seemed like they played their most complete game of the season last week.
Yeah.
They took a Capital City team that Jeff City knows very well is a good team
right.
and just dominated.
Yeah.
They took away everything that they wanted to do. I think they limited Jalen Thomas to 29 rushing yards,
yeah.
which I would have to assume is a career low for
it
him.
Was,
and
yeah.
and that is an extremely impressively talented kid. So
right.
the technically sound Helias team on both sides of the football is going to pose a lot of problems for Jeff City, and it's going to have to be a perfect game for Jeff City if
yeah.
they want to even be in this one.
So we've mentioned ad nauseum, probably for Jays fans, the defensive problem. So I think if you're able to keep this one close tonight, it's going to have to be a situation where your offense is able to execute better, to maybe give your defense a spell, have your defense not have to worry about that Helias offense. So how likely is it the fact that the Jays are able to get a substantial amount of points against the Helias defense tonight?
I wouldn't go as far as likely.
Okay.
It's probably not a likely thing that they're going to go out against a Helias defense that's given up more than 10 points one time in the last 4 weeks.
Right.
It's a very strong unit on that side of the ball. But if they are wanting to stay in this game, they have to be able to run the football efficiently, which it seemed like they made some good ground in that last week. And they have to take care of the football. This is a Helias defense that's forced 18 turnovers. They have 10 interceptions. And the biggest problem with the Jeff City offense has been turnovers.
Yeah.
And if you're going to throw interceptions, interceptions or you're going to fumble the football, you're going to set Elias up a short field. And ask Hickman. That's how they gave up 90 points. Is they right. gave them short fields over and over and over again in the first half. And Elias wasn't even necessarily trying to run up the score in that game. That's just kind of how game flow allowed it to happen. So if Jeff City comes out and plays kind of the offensive football they played against a Camdenton or against a Rockbridge, you're going to see this score get out of hand early, and I don't think Elias is even trying to do that. So you have to be able to burn some clock, keep that defense rested because they already have a tough enough test as it is, and you definitely can't make it worse by turning the ball over and giving them the ball on your side of the field.
Yeah. I think there are plenty of things that go into this game, you know, so that there's already enough writing on it already. But, you know, the other facet that goes into tonight's game is you know, if the Jays are able to get a win, then, you know, the city championship doesn't go to Elias with the 2-0 record. You know, it splits it evenly amongst everybody, I guess. So I guess there's another thing to play for, although I don't think that that's probably anywhere near the stuff that they're thinking of heading into this one.
Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a third of it. Yeah, I mean, the rivalry aspect is always an interesting aspect coming into this. I don't know too much about the history predating them playing on the field, but obviously these two sides have never been too fond of each other.
Right.
That's as much as I've gathered on that. I can't really expand too much on it. But these kids know each other so well, and obviously that's going to lead to some probably trash talk on the field, maybe a couple late hits. And it seemed like that's an issue that Jeff City dealt with last week.
Right.
And that's not something that they dealt with in a game against Capital City, where that's kind of where I thought that you might see that against a crosstown public school rival where you're getting beat soundly, and then that you kind of take out the frustrations there. So maybe that carried over from the Cap City game into the Hickman game when things started going awry. But I mean, the biggest thing I'm looking at is how Jeff City deals with adversity in this game.
Yeah.
Because obviously last week when adversity hit, things spiraled on them, and it spiraled very quickly. And you've seen that a couple times this year. Elias is talented enough to where you have to expect an early blow of some sort.
Right.
Whether that's a long touchdown offensively, whether that's a turnover defensively, they're going to come out and they're going to try and punch Jeff City in the mouth early.
Right.
And Jeff City has to be able to withstand that if they want to have any sort of progress towards the end of the season, because things are spiraling right now, and you have to be able to stop the bleeding at some point.
So with a game like this, you obviously want to come in with a full complement of your players and be at your best. How's the injury situation for the Jays coming into this one?
So it's more of an illness issue right now. It seems like the coaching staff and team combined are dealing with some sickness. I would say sickness, but it seems like it's more than one sickness kind of circling through that.
Sicknesses.
Yeah, sicknesses. That's a funny one. I don't know exactly what players they're expecting that this might be a problem with, but they did mention up to 8 to 10 starters could be either missing or hampered with this. And they're shortening practices this week. They're trying to allow as much time as possible for these kids to be laying in bed, drinking water, trying to recover. And if you're running into a Elias team that we've mentioned time and time again, it's very talented. So you want to be at full strength. And if you're coming in not feeling well and what's going to be a physical football game, that's really not a good combo.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point, and I'll just ask you who comes out on top tonight.
Well, I think Elias is going to win the city championship again. We'll see how the start of this game goes. I mentioned if things spiral early, this could get very ugly. I think Jeff City's going to try and put together a game plan to at least try and stay competitive for as long as they can. So I won't predict it to get enormously out of hand. I think I put in the paper 42-7, so that's what we'll stick with.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson and Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TREP. HAHN3. Thanks for listening.